Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Mesmerized, and hey, thanks for being here. I know it's May. I know it's crazy. Man, do I know it's crazy. And so I just want to thank you for tuning in, and you're not going to be sorry because today we have Melissa Radke with us, and Melissa is hysterical. She has a new book out called Chicken Fried Women, and I'm just going to tell you something. I read a lot of books. I get a lot of books for a lot of interviews, and I skim them. And this one I have read cover to cover. Hilarious. I mean, laugh out loud. Today, literally, I was reading a chapter sitting in the lobby of my church, because as you guys probably know, I spent a lot of time in the lobby of my church writing my book and editing my book. And I was reading a chapter of hers today just so I could laugh and have a little break. And I was hee-hawing. Are we allowed to say that? Is that random? I was hee-hawing in the lobby. It was so funny. And so she's just amazing. She's so funny. She loves the Lord. She's a really talented singer. She has a huge following on social media, all the places. She's got a couple of books, but the new one out again is called Chicken Fried Women. You will love it. But today we are going to laugh. We are going to talk about everything from her health journey to church stuff to family to the women who shape us. And as only luck could have it, my microphone was not working the day we taped, and I knew we had to get it done, and I knew y'all would want to hear from her no matter what. So the audio quality on my end is not very good, and I just want to apologize for that. That is not how we like to do things around here, but sometimes technology happens. And so please, please forgive us for that. But I think you're going to laugh either way. And the wheels fall off this interview several times because we're laughing so hard. So maybe my lack of decent audio is on brand for the interview. Either way, here we go today with Melissa Radke. Melissa Radke, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am good. I was literally thinking before we started, I was sitting here thinking, I could do interview podcast all day, every day. I wish everybody would ask me to be on their podcast. But then I thought, unless they're like, no fun. I was excited to be on here with you because you and I hit it off and we've got good chemistry and it's going to be fun. But I guess I was thinking, but if they're a real dull head, I would not like that.
No, peace out on the dull heads. I think one of the worst podcast interviews I've ever done, and I'm giving it kind of away, it's not this person's fault, but the question that the whole podcast was centered on that they asked that I started with was, what are you made of? I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Diet Dr. Pepper and tacos? Like, I don't know. And then they all wanted all my business strategy. And I was like, you're talking the wrong, like, I got no business strategy. I'm barely here, people.
Honestly, if you asked me what I was made of, I would do the same thing as you. I would be like, Coke and queso. I mean, that's what I mean, what do you want? Fortitude and grit. I mean, I ain't made of that.
I mean, seriously, anyone knows me and be like, oh, turn it off. That girl didn't have fortitude or grit. So anyway, I'm thrilled you're here. It was, if you don't listen to the other podcast I have, Sidetracked Everybody with Heather McFadden, then you missed it. But Melissa was a surprise guest on it recently. And I'll tell you, Melissa, and I don't appreciate it. My husband listened and he said, I laughed real hard, but all I can say is too much. And I go, oh, Melissa was too much. He goes, no, you were. I was like,
I was going to say, I would thought he would have said, you two together, too much.
Well, there was some of that too. He was like, it's a good thing you guys don't have a show. And I was like, hey, don't say we don't have a show. You don't know we don't have a show. We might
never
someday.
Never say never, man. Never say never. I will tell you, when I was on y'all's podcast, Heather, so I had interviewed with Heather the day before on her podcast. Yeah. And then she's like, oh yeah, I want you to come on and be a surprise guest. And I cannot tell you, Cynthia, how sick at my stomach I was for 24 hours thinking, I'm going to go on as a surprise guest. And the other host, I did not realize it was you, is not going to know who I am. And it's going to be very awkward. So when I started, I was like, I had a little touch of the diarrhea. But then immediately when Heather started explaining me, you went like this. I know who it is. I know who it is. I know who it is. And I was like, I could hear angels because that it was a relief.
It was like your angels and your bowels firmed up, like everything all at once. Well, yes, because I interviewed you on your first book on my old podcast in person. So it stuck with me and I still have it. I'm not lying. I would get it down if I didn't have to climb on a chair over there, but I kept it and I don't keep, you know how this business is. Like we get a billion, trillion books and I don't keep a lot of them because I couldn't. I mean, I'm not a library people, but I keep the ones that made me that if somebody writes funny or is really, really poignant or, you know, makes something a point that I've never, I keep them. Okay. I'm going to say you might fall into both categories, but really, really on the first one.
Right. Right. I feel you. Okay. I have a question for you. And I know this is about your,
what am I made of?
But I was just thinking about this. I mean, when you have a book come out, it's like a baby. You have a baby and everybody oohs and coos over the baby. And then they immediately go, do you even want another one? You have a book come out and then they go, are you even thinking about your next one? So I have been thinking and so that leads me to this question. And this is a brutal question because like, I'm going to ask you to be honest and you may not want to be totally honest because you might be afraid of offending people.
Oh, well that's too late for that one.
What is one type of book you just don't want to read again?
That's so good. Are you ready? Everyone, this is so offensive. And I'm about to put out a second book and it has a chapter on this. So it's really even offensive to me, but I don't want to read another. Well, I'm going to switch my answer. I was going to say identity. I don't want to read another book on identity, but I'm going to flip my answer. I don't want to read another book where somebody's got it all figured out. I'm tired of everybody being like figured out. And so I feel like, especially in Christian nonfiction, and this is over categorizing, but it's so buttoned up, serious. I've got it down. And I'm like, listen, I've been in church my entire life and I still don't get it. I mean, I do in a lot of ways and I don't in a lot of ways. And I just need someone to, if you're going to speak truth over me, make me laugh first. What do you think though? What about you? What's your answer?
Honestly, you said it exactly what I was thinking, but you said it more diplomatically as me, which there's a word for you. I was going to say, so there is a book that came out a little while ago. So glad that I don't remember who the author is. That way you can't, you know, point a gun to my head and make me say,
what if it was me? What if it was me?
It wasn't, trust me.
Okay, go on.
The title was something like, you know, it had a really pretty title, like Come to the Altar, but then it wasn't that, but then like the subtopic, the little other heading was something to the effect of how finding God in a theological table will open up the altars of our innermost being into the welcome presence of a heavenly saint. I mean,
heck no.
And
no.
I was like, is it just me? Or are other people like, quit throwing that at us? That's a lot to throw at us.
At least buy me dinner first.
At least.
Okay.
For real. And maybe I'm jealous. Maybe I'm jealous that I can't write that way. I couldn't on my best day write that way. Maybe there's a part of me that's like kind of like jealous. I don't think so, though. That's not even a type of book I would go and buy.
No,
I would go and buy the type of book with a woman on the front going like, and it was called like, Nobody Knows What They're Doing. I'd buy that.
Yes. Well, it's funny that we're having this conversation because literally, Melissa, if you could see my second screen right now, it is my publisher texting back and forth on the title of my next book. And we have been, I bet, 3 weeks hard in this and nobody can agree. It's all over the map. And it's so funny that we're talking about this because portions of it are getting a little like, the sacred truth. I'm like, oh gosh, no. There's nothing sacred or necessarily my truth for everyone in it. So it's just been interesting. My publisher is amazing, by the way. Don't anybody think I'm bad-mouthing him. It's just that, that push and pull process. And so I love that, and I'm just segueing right into yours because the name is perfect, right? Chicken Fried Women. My goodness, are you kidding me? It's so perfect. And it's, I don't have it sitting in front of me, which is, again, another professional move, but it's kinship. Tell me the sub line on it.
Chicken Fried Women, Friendship, Kinship, and the Women Who Made Us This Way.
Such a good one. And so when you and I got to talk about it on my other podcast, I hadn't read it yet. Yeah. And so since then I have, and usually like, you know, the drill, you read the first and last chapter, or maybe one in the middle, if you really want to impress them so that you pull a quote out somewhere. I mean, not really guys, but kind of like you try to like,
no, she's not wrong. Yeah.
Right. You're trying to get the gist, right? So I started at the beginning, and I say this in the least flattery or butt kissy way in the world. I laughed and laughed, and then I laughed some more. And then I've told all my friends, like, this is the funniest stuff I've read in a long, long, long time. Oh my gosh, it's so good. And I'm not just saying this because otherwise I would just be like, oh, what made you write this book?
Yeah.
I would go to those questions, and I would, and kind of like we talked about the other day, what do you want people to know about God after this book?
What do you want they take away from this book? Yeah.
Exactly. And your response being, by the way, for people who didn't hear you on the other podcast, what is your response when people ask you that question?
They're like, what do you want women to take away from this book? And I'm like, I don't care what they take away from it. I want them to just laugh. I just want them to have fun. This is not going to draw them closer to God, except, you know, in a theological sense, except that laughter is like a medicine. So just be joyful. I just want them to be happy. Is that too much to ask? I just want you to be happy when you read it.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Stephen at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Stephen.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
I just want you to be happy when you read it. That is like, that's the quote. And you guys, you'll be happy when you read it because it is so funny. And I just kind of want to go around and just say like, tell the story, but that's not helpful. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Do you know how, like, do you have a senior in high school, right? Do you have
a senior? Yes, I do.
Me too. One in high school and one in college. I'm barely existing right now. I need you to know that because I'm about to graduate two people. So I'm in a really dark hole, but not really. But I remember my daughter when she went to college, she was like, you didn't tell me that we were kind of weird. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Like nobody told me we were kind of weird. What are we doing that's weird? And she gave some examples, but here's one that's kind of a mild example of things that I didn't know we do that are weird. For example, when I finish with the credit card receipt at the restaurant, I sign the top copy and I rip the second one. And my daughter's like, why are we ripping the second one? I go, because my parents always said that the waiter or the wait staff could go and change the tip. And so my daughter's like, I'm going around Austin, Texas, ripping up receipts like a maniac.
Okay, I don't do that. I've never heard of anybody doing that. But then I've heard of these losers who keep it, who keep their receipts. I'm kidding. Oh. They're not losers. They're called organizational pros. But I don't keep the receipts. I don't. When I sign it, I leave. They could steal my identity and have. And I'm just happy to not know. I want to know, though, what are some more things that she said that y'all do?
Well, I'm trying to think of a few others, but I'm getting my point. I'll give you another one if it comes to me. But my point being, you have this crazy family. This book is all about your outlandishly crazy family. And I'm just wondering, did you like leave home at some point? You're like, oh, I didn't know we were the weird ones until I left. And not to by any means say your family's weird. But I mean, were there things like that? And what did that look like?
Well, the thing for me that I would hear over and over almost exclusively, whether I brought girlfriends home from college or friends came over to spend the night from high school, or I brought my boyfriend home, David Radke, who is now my husband, brought him home. The thing I would hear exclusively is, oh my gosh, y'all are so much. Like, y'all are so loud. And then I would hear, it's really hard to, your family is intimidating. And they were saying that not off of our off of our judgmentalness or anything like that, but rather off of our loudness, our volume, and getting a word in. And to hear it the first couple of times, I thought, oh, they must be from a really shy family. But then to hear it repeatedly, and now anyone who is married into my family again says, oh, yeah, this is a really hard, y'all are a lot, and it's intimidating at first. And it's because we're loud, it's because there's a lot of us, and it's because we move in a pack. Oh, there's a new movie we want to see. Let's 21 of us all go to it, you know? Oh, there's a catfish restaurant. Let's get a table for 18. I mean, so I guess that's what I would hear exclusively. Other than that, I don't think there's anything. I mean, although this is kind of heartbreaking. But nowadays, it's you're a different kind of family if you're even still married. You know, you're a different kind of family if you worship together. So
true. Okay, I'm going to give you one more, and then I want to talk about things, lessons learned from the family. But I think one other, our family's very sarcastic. And like you're saying, we're very loud and boisterous, not some of us more than the others, but my daughter has my exact same personality. I don't know if yours does. Same personality. And so we can talk tough, but we can take tough and all the things, and we're fine. And so an example is last night, she FaceTimed me to tell, I don't know why she FaceTimed me. I hate that old FaceTime. But every angle's bad, but she FaceTimed me to show me something. And her sweet roommates were there, and she lives with the most darlingest girls in the world. Oh, they're precious. And she answered, and I could tell she had been picking a zit or something on her face. And I went, ugh! And I gasped, and I said, did someone put a cigarette out on your face? Like, what am I looking at? And Kate's dying laughing, and her roommates are like, oh, like so taken aback. And I'm like, oh, that was too much. That was too much. So
well, yeah. I said to Remy the other night, there was a couple of kids in our living room, and she said, I said, hey, did you get that stain off of my patio, after my patio furniture? She had spilt something. And she said, oh no, I just knew the rain would wash it away. And I said, it hasn't rained. And she said, yeah, I went out there this morning and it was wet and everything was wet. And I said, that's called dew, you moron. Like that. And she busted out laughing, and all of her friends went,
oh.
And I was like, no, that's a term of affection. If I call you a moron or an idiot, I'm in love with you. I mean, that's how we talk to each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Manners. Did you say this? Was it you that said something like manners are for strangers? Did you say that in your book, or did I read it?
But I do wish I had. Say that I said it. Say that I said it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So one time you said manners are for strangers, and I agree with that. So you have all these women that you're talking about in your book, and your grandmother, I believe, that's passed away. And that was, I think, maybe one of our favorite chapters. And then moms and aunts and all the people. And so if this doesn't have to be like a serious question, because, you know, we don't have a serious bone in our body together. But like, if you were to put all this cumulatively together, all these people impacting you, give me a way that it's impacted your parenting. Like, what does that look like in your parenting, having grown up in this type of situation?
I think that it's only good stuff that I've learned. And that's coming from someone who's been parented herself by a mother and a father who I see as imperfect. They're not perfect. They're just mortal, right? Their feet are made of clay like everybody else. But the things that have been brought down in my family are openness, honesty, a beautiful line between I'm your friend, but I'm your mama first. In my family, I talked to my parents a lot. I was an only child. I opened up to them. I told them stuff. I had a really wonderful relationship with both my mom and my dad, and it's still beautiful to this day. Now I'm raising a son and a daughter, and they open up, and they talk to me and their daddy, and we're very close. So you can say what you want about families that are loud, and we talk a lot, but there's a lot of communication there, and it's been really beneficial, especially in this day and age. I mean, my kids talk to me. And so I think that's one of the beautiful things. Now, there are other things too. Like my son was telling the story the other day to somebody, to his girlfriend. He said, yeah, when I was little, I was a biter, but my mom just bit me one day as hard as she could, and then I never bit again. And the girlfriend about passed out on the floor. But again, I was taught, that's how we were taught. You know, I mean, I went around town with a spanking spoon in my purse. So I'm raising them like I was raised, and it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about our house too, and so similar to yours, and that a big currency in my house growing up and now is laughter. Like, if you can make someone laugh, you can get away with a lot, and not necessarily even in a bad way, but you know, like laughter went a long way. And I find now that I can, and we kind of mentioned this earlier, but I can speak a lot of truth into my kids if I can make them laugh first.
Right.
They want to bring their, be it as it may, that we're a lot, their friends are all always here, right? Uh-huh. They're always in the chaos of this. And so it is interesting to see how that kind of plays down. The same question for you in marriage, though. You married a guy that wasn't from this whole family getup. And so how has that looked? What have you learned? Any thoughts on that?
You could not. Here's what's so bizarre about that with David Radke. And everybody gets tickled that I call him by his first and last name. I just do. I don't
like
know
he's
why.
Famous. Like he's famous.
Yeah. So he was raised just like me in the things that matter. And he could not have been raised more polar opposite than me in other things. So he was raised in church every single Sunday. He was raised to learn to tithe. He was raised to serve the church and be a lay person in the church. He was raised to love the Lord and to read his word and to spend time with. So he was raised with a strong marriage, all the things that matter. When I started dating him, I could not figure out why none of them turned lights on. We would go to his house and they would just sit around with like one lamp on. And I'm not kidding. I would be like, why is it so dark in here? He'd be like, I don't know. They've always done that. And they would only sit around with one lamp on, and then they would never turn the TV on, ever, unless the Dallas Cowboys were playing. That is it. So that would mean we would sit around like this. Hey, they're building a new HEB down the road. Oh, really? And I would go to the back bedroom and take the most glorious naps I've ever had, because that was the most quiet, comforting house. And he would be like, why do you go to sleep every time you're at my parents? I'm like, why do you stay wide-eyed in the corner every time you're at mine? Like this. You know what I mean? But we were raised in the things that matter, and we've met beautifully in the middle.
Yeah.
The other things.
Yeah.
But let's just say I've taken him over to the dark side, because now he's obnoxious and he's tackling our kids and he's calling them idiots and all the things. But so I've taken him over to the dark side.
It works. It works. Yeah. My mom says that when Mike and I started dating, he barely said a word, and now she can't get him to shut up. And I was like, yeah, we've done well with him.
We've done good with him.
Yeah. Okay. I have a couple favorite chapters, and I'm three from the end, and it's been really great timing because I'm editing my current book that's about to come out, and it always helps to read someone else funny when you're trying to write funny. Now, you write dialogue unbelievably well. I can't write dialogue, or I've never really tried, but your dialogue and how you have, like, you know, the people interacting, I mean, it's so good. It should be fiction, but it's so good.
I did not know that I could write dialogue until I started this book. And then I realized, oh crap, I've got to write dialogue. But I literally, my editor told me, just write it out in a form of how it happened around the table. Don't worry about the commas and the quotations and all the things. Just write it out, and then we'll go from there. So we just kind of did it layer on layer. And she said, Melissa, because when I first handed it to her and I was like, there's so much dialogue, you're not going to know who's what. She said, I actually can. You write exactly like it happens, and I can hear the voices. And that's the dialogue. I will have to tell you this. The dialogue is really funny on the audiobook. People are loving the audiobook because everyone in my family gets a different voice. For instance, now every time my mother speaks, this is exactly how she talks. And she will say, Melissa, I didn't raise you like this, Melissa. So I do her voice. But when my Aunt Melba talks, she talks kind of like Kathleen Turner. She's got a low voice like this. But my granny talks exactly like this, like she's been smoking Marlboro Reds her whole life, even though she hasn't. And so I give everybody a voice, and that's been a lot of fun to do that with the dialogue.
That is genius. Okay, well, I'm going to have to go back and listen to it because I've been loving reading it so much. Okay, my favorite chapter in there, or maybe just my favorite section, is you guys talking about swim gym.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I might have peed a little. I laughed so hard about this. And so I'm going to need you just to give us the gist around swim gym, and then we're going to talk a little bit about all the things, body issue, weight, all the things. But tell us swim gym a little.
Okay, several summers ago, like I'm thinking six or seven years ago, we decided, me, my cousin Meredith, my Aunt Melba, my cousin Michelle, Lisa, all of the women, we decided we were going to get in shape, and we were going to do water aerobics. Now, keep in mind, nobody is a water aerobics instructor, and we can hardly swim, but we decided we were going to do water aerobics, so I racked the internet trying to find water aerobic moves that I could teach them, since it was at my house. I was the only one with a pool at the time. And we would set up music, and we would get our noodles, and we would do all these water aerobics. But y'all, It was hysterical because every single one of us got into the water with a swim dress on. You know how hard it is to work out when someone, you're getting tangled up in somebody's swim dress? And I would have to say, Meredith, I can't even move because of all of your swim dress material. She's like, I can't move because of Michelle's swim dress material. We would be in the deep end almost drowning just to get away from each other's because we have to wear big old swim dresses because God knows we're not going to show our thighs. No. And then if swim gym went good, we would reward ourselves with a snack or a tasty treat of some kind. But years ago, I had a podcast, and my cousin Meredith was on there with me, and it was an episode called Over My Bread Body. And her and I were discussing our water aerobics, and she said, we ought to name it something. We ought to call it, like, I don't know, swim gym. And it just stuck. And so it just happened kind of a fluke, awesome. But that's not what we call it. And we still do it. And girl, let me tell you something. They will come down, and we will do it in the evening time. And we will do swim gym yoga. And we will put out, you have never seen anything so hilarious as six fluffy women trying to get their legs to hook on the side of the pool. Okay? So that they can just lay back and float. You've never seen anything like it. It's like, okay, let's all help her get her legs up here. But then there's that one person left standing at the end like, well, who's going to help me? It's hysterical. It should be on TV.
It should be on TV. What you talking about, I don't know which one it was, but one of the women who had one of the noodles between her legs to balance.
My Aunt Melba has been a widow for 10 years. And so we would get into the water and I would say, okay, girls. And they hate the fact that I'm leading it because they always think I have to be the bossy one and I'm in charge. And I'm like, okay, girls, today we're going to put our noodle between our legs. And my Aunt Melba would go, y'all know how long it's been since I've had a noodle between my legs. And we'd be like, Melba, you're grossing us out. And her daughter Meredith would be like, I do not want to vomit in this water. Could you please stop? Okay, we're going to ride our noodle. I wish I could ride a noodle. But your daddy's been gone for 10 years.
It was so classic. You're talking about that. And then I guess someone made like a cobbler or a cherry pie and brought it out at the end. And David's like, why do y'all even do it? And you're like, shut your mouth. Okay.
I made a chicken pot pie for dinner. And then I called him and he came out the back door and I said, bring that out here with a fork and we're all going to take a bite. And he said, I don't want you eating chicken pot pie in the pool. I said, give me the chicken pot pie, David. And so now we're passing it around in the water. It's disgusting, but we love it.
That makes me so happy. Well, I laugh so hard. I'm like, okay, we're in the same state. Surely I'm not too far to drive over for swim gym one day. Cause I've literally been on Sidetrack, the other podcast, talking like ridiculously about how this is the year I switch over to rash guard, that I can't feel my arms anymore.
Girl,
this is the year.
I'm there. Let me tell you something. So many people have asked, girls in our town, can we come to swim gym? And we have all made a mutual decision that if you are a size 16 or under, you're not invited. You can't come. We may let you if you're 14, but a 12, get out of our face. Get out of our face. You're not coming.
That is so bad. It's like when I get those Instagram ads and it's like this tiny itty bitty model modeling Spanx and how they don't roll down. And I'm like, no, you stop it right there. Don't you put a tiny person on a Spanx ad.
I will believe them every time. Okay, it's not rolling down for her. Then it'll look good on me. And I'm like, what am I thinking? I have body dysmorphia in that I think I'm a size 2.
I say that all the time. I totally have reverse body dysmorphia.
I do too. I'm like, that's going to look so good on me. Oh, wait, I forgot. I have an arm the size of a tree trunk. I just forget.
The worst is on Amazon and I'll look and I'll be like, man, that really looks good on her, that little dress. And then I'll scroll down and I'll look for the people with pictures and then I'll be like, well, why did you put a fat girl in it? Because now I look at it, I'm like, well, that doesn't look good anymore. And that's going to be what I look like. And so then it's a whole start over process. And So, okay, let's talk about this though, because I've been following you a long time on the socials. And I know you do not shy away from talking. I don't know if you can shy away from it anymore, but talking just about the weight loss journey and really the health journey, right? And you know what? Let's give a clap to Oprah for finally coming out and kind of saying, like, can we normalize some things here?
For real.
And I Right. And so I'm just curious, like, was it treacherous stepping into that or don't care? Or what made you kind of just decide, like, I'm just going to be honest about where I am, what I'm doing, and what I care about when it comes to health?
Well, here's the deal. When you are on social media, when you put yourself and your life and your marriage and your kids and all of it out there for the world to see, don't think that they don't also see your body and your weight. And I was about 60 pounds heavier than I am now. I still have quite a lot to lose, but I have lost 60 pounds. So it wasn't like my weight was a secret. I just never talked about it. And then I have an email that goes out once or twice a week. And one particular day, I talked about the fact that I was had been with a group of girlfriends and they wanted to take a group picture. And I'm always the girl that stands at the back. And it was just, it really wasn't even like, oh, this is about my weight. It just was that. And I saw the multitudes coming out. It was like ants. They just rushed me. And they were like, I'm always the girl at the back. I'm always the girl that doesn't want to look at the picture. I'm, you know. And I don't know, I had been feeling for quite some time, I need to get healthy. My kids are getting older. I want to be able to go and do. And I just thought, well, hey, if they're going to be honest enough, then maybe the world needs to watch this. So I decided I was going to get healthy. I decided I was going to try and figure out my hormones. I decided I was going to try intermittent fasting. I decided to try swimming and walking and a weightlifting class. I just talked about it. I didn't say, this is the year of me or anything like that. I just openly talked about it and felt so much encouragement. Do you get a troll every now and again? Yeah, sometimes, but not often, not certainly not enough to derail me. And I did it in a really, really healthy way. And I was really proud of myself. And about the time that I had lost about 45 pounds, that's when GLP-1's shots came to the surface. And from the get-go, I have never not been honest. I lost 45 pounds and then I got on the shot. And now I'm down 60 pounds and I've still probably got another 40 to lose, but it's doable. I see the end in sight. And you know, the other day, I'll tell you this, the other day I did a podcast and at the very end, the podcast host always asks this question.
What are you made of?
Huh?
What are you made
no.
of?
No. Can you imagine?
Oh, good. Thank you.
What is saving your life right now?
Oh yeah.
What is saving your life right now? And people will say, oh, this new recipe I found, or this great book, or this pair of Spanx jeans. And I said, oh, definitely a GLP-1 drug. And the host went just like this. And her mouth dropped open and she said, well, okay, we applaud honesty around here. And she didn't have one single negative thing to say, but she was shocked that I would admit it. Why are we shocked that... this is helping people. This is saving lives. And so now I'm very open about that. I still take some supplements and some vitamins every day, and I talk to women about that, and that really helps me. And then I do my GLP-1, and I still do my little morning class, my little circuit class. And so I like talking about it because I think women just respond to it really well. It levels the playing field for all of us. We all realize we're in the same boat, really.
Well, if you're not following her on social and or getting her newsletter, which I'm doing both, like you need to tune into this because I'm so appreciative of the candor of speaking the things that we're all thinking, experiencing. I mean, I'm over here. We adopted one late in life. So I've got older kids and a second grader. So I'm trying to figure out like shopping at Chico's and menopause and going to the zoo.
Do you have a second grader?
Girl, I don't joke about
things like
this. That
makes my knees hurt just thinking about it.
I know, right? Right. And so I just appreciate that as you're talking through all the things, it's so real and vulnerable and honest. Okay, we have to end with two things that are a slight problem. Number one, and you and I believe we DM'd or emailed or something about this. I don't wash my face at night.
I'm going to say this to you like my mother would say it.
In her voice, please.
I am appalled at that. I'm appalled at that. And it's like you don't even love yourself on the inside if you're not even going to care for yourself on the outside. Okay? That's what Annette would say to you. I don't understand it. Let me tell you something. I was so tired the other night. And I knew that I had done I'd done a really light coat of makeup, just this clean girl aesthetic, but I had had some stuff on my face. And I got in bed and I was like, I'm not even going to wash my makeup off because I just didn't even wear that much today. Couldn't do it. Laid there for 10 minutes, had to get up and go in and do it. I couldn't do it. What is going on with you? Are you hurting inside?
Do I need my feelings pillow out? What's going on?
Yes.
Okay.
Talk to me.
Are you do you do the Enneagram?
Yes.
What are you?
I'm a 7.
Of course you are. I told you I was a 7 for years, man. Talk about dishonesty and living behind a cloak of lies. I'm like, I'm a 7. I'm a 7. And then finally I was like, I'm a 3. Fine.
Are you?
Right. Let me achieve, everybody. Here's the thing. My achieving is unfortunately in full force most of the time, but somehow it shuts off at 9 at night. It shuts off, and that's not good for anyone in this house, probably not my husband either. But the achieving is a problem, everyone, because at 9 o'clock, I'm like, I've achieved all I can achieve, and I can no longer. And to go in there and get, I even buy, because I'm this lazy, I buy the like baby butt wipes, but for your face, that's the easiest form of washing your face off, and I won't even do that. I know.
I would almost rather you. David has his hand over his mouth because he knows how I feel about this. This is strong. What you are doing is a confessional right here, and you're admitting sin to me.
Okay,
but I'm not God, and I'm not going to throw it as far as the east is from the west. I'm never going to let you forget it.
Okay.
Makeup wipes are awful for your face. I'd rather you go to bed with makeup on.
Oh, well,
okay?
Yeah. Now
listen.
Winning.
If you are an achiever until 9 o'clock, could you maybe wash your face at 8:30? What is going on? You're going to regret this at a later age.
Okay, fine. Well, I want you to know that I'm going to try. In fact, a friend of mine, she dropped off a huge basket of all her very favorite expensive products because she was so upset about this. And I used them for like 2 days. I'm like, this is exhausting. So
what
then
did
I, like,
what kind did she send you?
I don't know. You know, I don't know the names of them, but it has all these like toners and retinols and E's and A's and letters. I don't know why. And which one's a cleanser and which one's a toner and which one.
Hey, dum-dum. It'll say cleanser on the front of it.
Very complicated.
Okay, Maudell, you need to do something with your face. And you know why? How old are you? Because you don't look a day under 82.
I am the youngest 74-year-old you'll ever meet. 54 going on 90 with a second grader, so it's fine. Maybe I'm 53. Do you forget your age?
I quit counting after 49.
Okay, great. It's 70. I was born at 71, everyone. I'm not trying to be inauthentic about my age. Whatever that makes me. Is what I am, everybody. But yes.
Okay, you're only 53.
Oh, sorry.
But you're going to regret it when you're 60 and you look 78. You've got to do it. I want to take you under my wing and help you.
Only if I can come to the pool party. What's it called? I already forgot.
Swim gym.
Oh, swim gym.
I wish I had a girlfriend who dropped off face care at my door. The only thing my girlfriend ever gave me was COVID.
I've gotten that too. Don't you worry. Got that one from people too, but, and a stomach bug, you know, those kind of things. Some hemorrhoid cream if things get real bad, but that's about it.
Girl. Hey, you need to have me on again sometime when I can talk to you about my hemorrhoid surgery. Don't shake your head no, David. It's a real problem women deal with.
David, a hemorrhoidectomy is always good content, okay?
It's great content, and I've had to have two of them.
Maybe that's the title of my next book. A hemorrhoidectomy is always good content.
That is true. I want so badly to know what the names are that are floating around for your next book. I really want input on that, but I know you can't say it. On here.
I'm not going to say it on here, but I'll tell you when we get off. And then everyone's going to be like, well, that's disappointing. I thought it was going to be something. I would pay you cold hard cash to name the book. Like, that's the state we're at right now. I'm like, well, this isn't good.
What were the name of your first two?
The first one, there's only one, and it's called Life is Messy, God is Good. And it's Sanity for the Chaos of Everyday Life. And so,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah,
I love
Life is
that.
Messy, God is Good. The second one, to be continued, everybody. But okay. Melissa Radke, enough about mine. You guys, please, if you're listening to this, if you only barely listen, if you're like, gosh, they are a lot together, still, please get her book because Chicken Fried Women is so good, so funny. And I say this like, it takes a lot to make me laugh out loud in a book. And I laughed and laughed and laughed and I kept reading it.
I kept reading it.
So it's awesome.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
Thanks for doing
it. Because you know what? Do you ever notice like comics have a hard time complimenting comics sometimes? Like some girls don't ever want anybody to be funnier than them. And I've noticed with you, like you appreciate someone who's funny. Like you get it instead of like, ah, I laughed. It was a sweet little book. You're like, y'all, this is funny. Go and get it. So thank you for that.
Well,
that's rare.
I'm happy to. And I know you subtly just said you're funnier than me. And I want you to know, Melissa, it's okay. You're the guest.
I
heard it loud and clear. It's fine, everyone.
I didn't say it out loud. I said it in my heart.
Oh, just in your heart. Sorry. It just kind of came out loud. But hey, Melissa, you, where does everybody find you? On your website? You don't have a podcast going right now, do you? Or do you?
I do. It's called the Chicken Fried Women Podcast.
Oh, well, I was looking up the other day, your old one, Ordinary, what is it?
Ordinary People, Ordinary Things. I quit that during COVID because I got depressed. But the Chicken Fried Women Podcast, and we were just planning on it going only as long as the book, you know, kind of during the book release, but it's done really well. So I don't know what we're going to keep doing with it, but they can check me out there. Social media, I'm on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. And of course, they can go to my website, melissaradke.com.
Awesome. You guys, follow her. I'll link all of it in podcast notes. And one last thing, when you were on our other podcast and you said, will y'all come on mine? Or you said, will you come on mine? And Heather goes, well, you should have Cynthia. And I go, she was talking to me.
I was.
We're still laughing about that. Heather goes, well, sorry. Oh, funny.
And okay. You are coming on mine.
Well, go listen to Chicken Fried. No, go get the book, Chicken Fried Women. Go listen to the podcast, Chicken Fried Women. Do all the stuff. Follow her. Wash your face. The end. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you guys, I know that you are going to love her book. Go check it out, Chicken Fried Women. I have laughed and laughed and laughed. You're going to love it. And I was so thankful that she could join us today. We could laugh. And I'm sorry the audio wasn't what it usually is. But nonetheless, I hope you enjoyed it. And more great interviews coming your way. So make sure you tune in. I would love it, love it, love it if you take a second and leave a review. And happy May, everybody. Thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. You're the very best.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.